Jules Cracker, read joke. What does Santa have in his sack? Daryl Clark. Wrong show. This is the Totally Football League show. Surviving the sack and the Christmas party this week, Adrian Neil Diamond Clark.
Ho, ho, ho.
Sam, no karaoke for me, please, Parkin.
Morning.
You would have.
Would have. Yeah, I'd have been. Could have, would have. Attempted should've. Something. Yeah.
And Joe, Dr. Dre, Crilly.
Oh, yeah.
Ho, ho, ho.
Right on so many levels. I've heard about you spitting bars, and they were rather exciting, apparently.
It was. I don't know how somebody loses their voice rapping, but I managed to do it. I must have been shouting.
Have you? At that magnificent football team of yours. Anyway.
What did you go for, Caroline, just out of interest?
Me? Silence is golden, is what I did. And it was a beautiful rendition, Sam, but you wouldn't know because you weren't there.
Good.
Wins one then for Sol Campbell, Neil Ardley and Paul Lambert. Bradford thumped four past Walsall to move off the bottom of League One. Charlton saw red after 48 seconds and Cambridge bring the festive feels on the field as the groundskeepers mow a Christmas tree into the pitch. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Tom Walsh from SB Nation has ramped it up another level, Walshy409 on Twitter, and he has drawn our attention to his excellent must-have Christmas gifts from League One. Accrington have got this Jesse McClure doll. Do you know Jesse? He's from, like, Storage Hunters or something. Anyway, you can buy that. But Bradford City's flip-flops are the personal highlight, which are flip-flops done in Bradford City colours. Secret Santas, what was your worst?
Do you really want to know?
And are you wearing it? You do have a lovely jumper on.
I do, yeah. I'm very Christmassy at this time of year. No, you really don't want to know about my worst Secret Santas. Well, they were rude. Yeah, they're rude. Stress balls in the shape of bosoms.
Footballs? Bosoms? Sam Parkin.
I'm with Adrian. I can't really recall doing Secret Santa.
Joe Crilly.
I've got a Christmas anecdote I was chuckling about on the way in this morning, if you want it briefly.
I would love that.
Danny Butterfield, who's been mentioned on this podcast before, fancy dress, Cardiff, American tourist. So picture, you know, Joey, when he gets in the map in Friends and's walking around, he had a map of Cardiff, brilliant outfit, and he was in character all day. So he was getting in the back of people's photos. He was asking for directions. Me and him get carried away during the day. I had a few too many drinks. We're going to go back and get changed for the evening out. So obviously getting into our usual attire. Danny's got comedy glasses and a visor on. We go and try and hail a black cab on Cardiff High Street. He starts speaking to someone in the back of the taxi. He's got his head in the taxi. Cab driver drives off with visor stuck in the cab. And Danny proceeds to jog alongside the cab with his visor in the cab. It was just glorious. And I was looking around for the rest of the lads going, please, please, but nobody saw it.
Where's the camera phone?
Oh, it was so good.
That is good. That is good. That is very good. No, we didn't do Secret Santas. We were way too cool for that. I do remember dressing up as Quasimodo at Southend Christmas party once. And I got into a conversation with a teammate and they said, you're on fire, mate. And I said, I know. I keep scoring goals. Blah blah blah. You know, should be playing every week. Should get a move, really. He's like, no, you are on fire. Someone, one of the players, was smoking a cigar, I think, and had set my hump alight. And bang went the deposit. Gutted.
Joe Crilly.
Well, I'd have nothing to match either of those stories, sadly. But given the industry that we work in, we tend to give each other bets at Christmas time. Secret Santa.
You do not.
Yeah.
Oh, so such fun at your party. Is that actually what you do?
We all go off and put a £5 bet on whatever and then just stick it in a hat and then you pick out the bet. So I've had some good bets. The worst one that I had was a couple of years ago, Stormzy to get Christmas number one, which he didn't. I didn't even know what a Stormzy was at the time. But I've had a couple of winners. Andy Murray to win Sports Personality of the Year. A couple of horses to win the King George on Boxing Day. So it's quite fun.
Actually, that's quite good because I never do the old scratch cards in a Christmas card because if you sort of like the person, but not really like them, and they win 50 grand or 100 grand, they're giving you none of it, are they? Right. But you would do that.
Well, it's a secret as well, isn't it? So you wouldn't be able to say, well, actually, that was me who gave you that.
Yeah,
do you want to give me 10 grand?
You always end up, because you want to tell them how great your present was, right? So you always end up telling them that it was your secret, unless it's really naff. We've got loads of emails and tweets, so we'll rattle on and get to some of the others later. One does include an American tourist. So, funnily enough, let's hope they don't go out with you. to the Championship then. Leeds all change at the top after the Canaries drew 2-2 at Ashton Gate. They slip into second, Bamford securing the win for Leeds over Bolton. High fives all round. Meanwhile, a win, finally a win for Paul Lambert at Ipswich. All it took was a wee while. Meanwhile, a Premier League throwback saw West Brom give Chris Wilder his first back-to-back home defeats in charge of the Blades. And no one asks Jos Lehoucai about his future unless you have a bleep button in sight. What did he say, Sam?
I don't know, something in a brilliant comedy accent.
Something hell, it's the Championship.
Yeah, it's been coming, hasn't it? I don't know how he's still in a job, to be honest. I think they're unanimous, the Sheffield Wednesday fans now. I think Swansea presented them with a goal the other day and great opportunity to get some points. But as so often, just shipping so many goals at the other end. I don't want anyone to lose a job. And he seems like a really likable bloke. The results dictate, though, don't they, sometimes? Either that, or if a bloke's not a particularly nice man, that doesn't seem to be the case with him. Or if you're not hardworking, which obviously I don't know, I'm not on the training ground. But the results for a club of the magnitude of Wednesday are so disastrous at the moment.
Swansea 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. I wasn't going to start there, but the expletive-laden chat that he had with the local radio was quite something, and he's clearly a little bit rattled.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's talking himself into the bullet, isn't he? It's hard to understand really what the Owls board are doing, really, in terms of waiting. The results have been poor for a long time. The pattern is set in stone. It's not as if they've just had a rotten run where they've been leaking goals over three or four games. It's been happening over a period of months. No, the style of play is not conducive to winning football, unfortunately, at the moment with the players they've got. So they have to make the change. I said at the start of the season, this year would be a test of Jos Lehoucai's coaching ability because it's his first full season, and he's failed the test and he probably has to go.
They're 18th, right? Lost, won, lost, drawn, lost. Brentford in 19th, lost, lost, drawn, lost, lost. Rotherham, 20th, drawn, drawn, lost, drawn, drawn. Reading, 21st, drawn, lost, drawn, lost, drawn. So they do have a win amongst those four that are just above the relegation places. But it's the manner of it. And if you read any
against Joe's mob, wasn't it?
Yeah. The win came against second bottom Bolton Wanderers. But I don't know whether I see anything, as you say, in Sheffield Wednesday that makes you think they've got anything to turn it around.
I see enough attacking players that tells me they're not going to get relegated. That's my hunch on it, and that has probably been consistent for the last month or two. Forestieri's still missing, but I just think in reach and some others. Bannon, obviously, is a player that I've talked up a great deal on this show. I still think he's a very good player. I just don't see still any support for those defenders in the midfield area, so they continue to concede goals. But I think a change is on the horizon.
Yeah, when you're struggling, you have to go back to basics, and you have to set up a structure to your team. If you're not playing well, just make yourself solid and hard to beat. And from the outside looking in, there appears to have been virtually zero effort put into that aspect of the game. And for that reason alone, I think it deserves the bullet.
And you look at, they've got a home game against Preston, then they're away to Middlesbrough, then they're away to West Brom, and then Birmingham have turned some form at home, Sheffield Wednesday at home on New Year's Day. So the run is not enviable. Let's talk about the exciting fair that was the most recent game. Derby 0, Nottingham Forest 0. What was the tweet that went out, I think, from Good Brand Stats, who I absolutely adore, something about it's going to be a cracker, the most exciting East Midlands derby yet. You, Sam, were talking this up too, weren't you?
No, I said we should probably discuss the latest fixture when I was asked yesterday, which was probably the intelligent thing to do, considering the position they both are in the league and the magnitude of the fixture.
Look at the anger on his face.
No, he didn't like that.
It's quite scary, isn't it?
Talking of anger, a derby were denied the easiest penalty to give, according to Frank Lampard. Well, Keith Stroud, the referee, waving away the appeals. It was Tom Lawrence that was chopped down.
Well, my girlfriend had strict instructions to record this game because I was covering the Youth Cup match between Manchester United and Chelsea, and I returned and it wasn't recorded. So I've done my best to trawl through the highlights. What I will say, if you haven't seen Manchester United's goals from the Youth Cup last night, Mason Greenwood, I think he's 17 years old, got a hat-trick. And if Manchester United aren't too busy taking calls on something else this morning, there will be a lot of Championship clubs wanting to take him already. This was an unbelievable performance to knock Chelsea out. And I think he looks ready for first team football, this kid. It was sensational. Anyway, I got back to watch the highlights of what was...
I think probably that was the highlight just then.
It was very much a derby looking affair, not Derby County, but in terms of the rivalry between the two. Scrappy, physical. I think the referee got two big decisions horribly wrong. As you would imagine, Frank Lampard articulated it very well after the game. Yeah. I thought it was a sending off for his player, Bogle, on Osborne, I think it was. And the penalty decision and the way he spoke about it afterwards, Lampard, I would have to echo. You know, Adrian, anyone who's kicked a ball about at any level, if the attacking player is trying to get to the ball and gets that little nick and the challenge comes in like that, they're the easiest ones, I feel, to give. I mean, how he's missed it, the foul on Lawrence from Dariqua is... And that does change the course of the game. It makes Nottingham Forest have to change their approach, come out a little bit more, because I think their setup and their compactness was very evident last night, what you'd expect from Karanka, especially in a derby match. So that did change the flow. On the face of it, the point was probably right. And two teams, I don't know about you, Adrian, but two teams I'd be very surprised if not both of them are probably in the playoffs come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think both will make the playoffs because they're good defensively and because they've got a lot of talent in forward areas.
Derby up to fourth, Nottingham Forest seventh.
I agree it was a penalty. I agree Bogle should have been sent off for the elbow. I've seen players sent off for what Tamouri did with the two-footed lunge as well. I mean, Premier League... I mean, I kind of always disagree with it because when you take the ball cleanly, I'm a little bit old school like that, but technically that is a red card
as well.
In the
rule book, is that a red card for intent?
I think it is, yeah. Always out of control. It's a dangerous...
He wasn't in control.
It was a weird tackle.
It was a dangerous tackle. The most interesting thing for me as a member of the Left Footers Union was the left peg off between Joe Lolley and Harry Wilson. Both hit some beauties, I have to say, in the game. And those two boys... are definitely going to play Premier League football.
Oh, well, see, I wasn't going to bring this up right now, but I will bring it up right now. Barca Jim, who often gets in contact via at the Totally Show, we appreciate it, that was not a dig, said who will in the Championship should be on the radar of Premier League clubs. So you stick both of those on it.
Yeah. Come chat. Well, Harry Wilson is a Premier League player, isn't he? But I think Joe Lolley will be one that could definitely play in the Premier League. In terms of forward players...
Wilson doesn't get called back, does he?
Yeah, I mean, Jack Marriott, we've mentioned before, I think he's a Premier League player in waiting, but I don't see him leaving. I think the ones that are most likely to maybe be picked up in January could be Ollie Watkins at Brentford. Brentford, I wouldn't be surprised if they sell one of their stars, and his value is probably plummeting at the moment because he's not in great form after a brilliant start to the season. But I do think he's got it. I think he can supplement a Premier League squad. And I think
you don't think it'd be Neil Mopai instead?
No, I don't know. I think he's probably a Championship player. I think he'd score a lot in the Championship. I'm not sure how impactful he'd be in the top flight. The other one that springs to mind is Kemar Roofe at Leeds, purely on the basis that his contract is running down and he hasn't agreed a new one at Elland Road. And I've been really, really impressed by him. He's the right age, hardworking, mobile, can score all types of goals. I think he could do a job for someone in the Premier League for sure. So those are the ones I pick out.
On Wilson, Klopp, the latest, was saying that he hasn't ruled out the possibility of calling him back in January. Whether he needs him at the moment, big games that Liverpool have got coming up. Sorry, Sam of the Park.
Do you want two from me, just quickly?
You've given
me two,
one,
mates.
Adam Reach, haven't you? Because I think Sheffield...
Oh, I'm not sure.
No? You don't think Sheffield Wednesday?
Maybe a team...
Wolves?
Down the bottom end. Yeah. But I do like him. Most recently saw him live at QPR and it was... during the spell when they were shipping loads of goals. And I do like him. He's got a bit more to his game than just the spectacular finishes that he's been producing. So potentially the two for me, my mate McGinn, obviously, and Eze in time from QPR. Obviously two players that I know a hell of a lot about. Those two will play in the Premier League, no question.
Palace, Bournemouth and Spurs, Ollie Watkins, have all been mentioned. Jack Grealish, again from Villa to Spurs, has come up. Again, Rodriguez, West Brom to Burnley, another, and Bradley Dack, Blackburn to Spurs.
Yeah, you should have mentioned Bradley Dack. I think he's he will get his chance for sure. I mean, he's a number 10 that scores goals for fun, and he's got that little creative eye as well. So Bradley Dack, he was an omission on my part.
Anyone decent at Bolton? You think not necessarily to the Premier League that Bolton may have to lose in January, Joe?
Amiobi.
Yeah.
I could see him moving to a team towards the top of the Championship and maybe Ben Anik, a backup keeper for a Premier League side, maybe not in the summer. Maybe not in January, but in the summer. They're probably the two standout players at Bolton Wanderers at the moment.
Thank you, Mr. Jim, for your correspondence, as always. QPR at the moment, Steve McLaren, despite many bemoaning, his record recently is phenomenal. He's turned things around. He was given perhaps that little pat on the back. Sacked three times since 2015, twice by Derby, of course, once by Newcastle. Now he's at QPR. Now he's kind of seen off his old side, Middlesbrough, on Saturday, and QPR only 5 points off the Championship playoffs.
Yeah, really impressed, actually. He's proved me wrong. I'd written him off months ago. So look, he's having a great season. They've got the third best home record, haven't they, QPR? So that they've made, every manager aims to make their home ground that fortress cliche, and they kind of are. Naki Wells was probably one of the smartest bit of recruitment. Again, he was excellent at the weekend. Centre-halves are good, aren't they? Or they've become good during the course of this season. They've built up a partnership, Lynch and Leisner. So, what's not to like about QPR at the moment? I think, ultimately, they don't have the depth there to challenge for the playoffs in the long term. But a season around 10th, 11th, 12th has to be regarded as a successful.
12 points clear of the bottom three is probably the stat he'd rather look at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, just on those defenders, I think they've been looking not as solid as maybe they were a month, 6 weeks ago. Partly, Cameron's injured now, who's, I think, been the most important signing. So on Saturday, it was Cousins and Luongo, who are very much, in my mind anyway, Matt does play a bit deeper, but I used to love him at Swindon, getting forward and getting goals. So those two are having to adapt their game a little bit. And the other problem is Lynch went off on Saturday, and Darnell Furlong, who is one of the nicest young kids I've ever met in the game.
Why? What?
Not surprised. Well, his dad, I think, first and foremost, he's a top man. Darnell, very well-mannered, very good player. Started at right back, had to go to centre half. Not sure how long Joel Lynch is going to be out, but really impressive to beat Middlesbrough. One shot on target, the goal for Middlesbrough. And late on, Tony Incenzo of QPR fame told me this. Aidan Flint went up front for Middlesbrough and they just boomed it to him the last 5 minutes, and Steve McLaren actually reacted and brought big Matt Smith on. So it was, I think that just tells you a little bit where Middlesbrough are at the moment. And looking at the tweets and the reports from the Middlesbrough supporters, I think that's pretty as bad as it's got this season. So great for QPR. I agree with Adrian, mid-table, snap your hand off. Middlesbrough really worrying at the moment, and a massive, I noted them down. It's Burton tonight, League Cup, Reading, Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich. Three games that they've got to take, what, 6-7 points from minimum.
Sheffield Wednesday we've spoken about. Ipswich, though, their first win for Lambert. 4 points off second bottom. Freddie Sears, though, 5-7 under Lambert, 5 in his previous 51.
It's
before
mad, isn't
Lambert.
It? Yeah, it is crazy. It happens, though. We've seen it a million times where just it clicks with one manager. It's just, it gives you that new lease of life. I mean, it was a real bobbly goal. It was the ugliest goal you'll ever see, wasn't it, from Freddie Sears at the weekend. But he's always had that eye for goal, and he's a bit of a match winner when he's on form, coming in off the flank to score goals. So they needed it, didn't they? Was it 250 days, I read, since their last win in the league at Portman Road. So boy, did they need it. I still think they're bang in trouble, though, because they need a striker. They cannot survive unless they recruit, I think, two strikers in January. Jordan Roberts has done all right. He's a good player, but does a lot of his best work sort of deep or wide. I don't think he's the natural leader of a line. Could they get, who is it they sold to Derby that's not in the team at the moment?
Waghorn.
Could they get him back, I wonder? He's not in the team at the moment. I don't know if he's injured. They need someone like that, desperately.
You know I interrupt Sam all the time, but Joe Crilly just put his hand up, so that's worth an interruption.
One of you two said when Lambert took over that there may be a £10 million war chest in January. Do you think that's likely?
There is money available, and I know that from speaking to one of my old friends who works in the press down there. So there is money. I don't think to that level. The problem with, I suppose, what we're discussing is it going to be difficult to entice players to Ipswich when you're at the bottom of the table, and it is...
Yeah, you want a good loaner, though. That might be the key. Somebody that's out of favour that could get you the goals.
The thing I noticed most from Saturday was Nolan was back in the team, and I think, by association with the previous manager, it's probably been so difficult for the likes of Nolan with the supporters because it hasn't worked out for Paul Hurst. They're bad players. And this is a talented boy. We spoke about him enough last year for Shrewsbury. Very talented player. He's playing a bit higher because Skews has been out, and that means Downs has slotted back into Skews' role. So It's pretty much, this is my only concern, well, that they will add in the in January, but at the moment it is the same players. The depth is not there, and he's rolling them out week after week.
Yeah.
And it was, as it said on the tin at the weekend, it was a grubby 1-0. And I think in the rain, the conditions, that's the best you could have probably hoped for being an Ipswich fan.
I was just looking at what was the latest on Jermaine Defoe, because there's been all sorts of talk, but the sniffs around him from Sunderland seem to be getting stronger. Any of the others you wanted to, do you want to have a word of Blackburn 2, Birmingham 2, yeah, Birmingham improvement?
Yeah, I was going to talk about Hull, actually. No. I just think they deserve a mention. No, I just think we haven't given them a lot of court time, but they're in good form. 15 points from the last eight games.
2-0 win over Brentford. Does that say more about Brentford at the moment?
Maybe, but it's it was comfortable. It was routine. And yeah, I just think a few of their players have got Campbell back in the team. I think he makes a massive difference to them. And Grzycki is a player I've always really liked. And he finally, he's got himself going. Over the last few weeks, he's been scoring goals, been making goals primarily. So yeah, I think Hull are picking up quite nicely, actually. They've got a new centre-back partnership. Is it Mazuk and Elphick are doing pretty well at the moment. Henriksen's on fire. The issue is still with Hull, what on earth is going on with the owners? And I was looking at the stuff in the local press up there, and it's a big story at the moment. They were going to sell the club apparently by Christmas to a Saudis consortium led by the former chairman Paul Duffin, and now it's not. So I think they really did need to sell it before Christmas so they get the money,
yeah,
so that they can spend it in January. If it drags on and on and on, that even though they're playing well at the moment, I think it could be a long 5 months.
The problem is there are so many clubs up for sale or touting themselves at the moment. It's sort of which one do you rate above the others? Which one do you go for when you're in precarious positions?
On that, by the way, apparently and this would worry me, apparently the reason the Saudi consortium are so interested is not because of the football side of it, it's the surrounding area of the KCOM. Mm. And according to the local council, they've not been contacted. Now, unless they're lying, that if you are going to buy it, you would surely contact the local council and say, look, what can we do with this, this and this? So I worry that this might even turn out to be a red herring.
Duffin would know about that, wouldn't he?
Surely, but it's dragging on too long, and the Allan family, they don't want it, do they?
At the Totally Show, for anything you want to say. Next up, we're having a league wonderful Christmas time.
You're listening to the Totally Football League Show in association with William Hill. For all the latest odds in the footballing world, check out williamhill.com or download the app. And if you don't spot something you fancy, why not tweet at William Hill using the hashtag #YourOdds for your very own personalised bet. 18 plus only, begambleaware.org, and when the fun stops, stop.
Christmas is a time for giving, and at the Valley, all it took was 48 seconds for the first card of the day to be handed out to the Addicts, except it was a red. At the foot of the table, Bradford secured a thumping victory over Walsall to send the Dons to the bottom, and Plymouth also added three more points to their season's haul with a win over Rochdale. The Lillis said about that, the better. Whilst at the top, Luton have now won six league matches on the bounce. Portsmouth, Stoke and Sunderland keep on keeping on. So much love for the Sunderland documentary about how beautiful it is, but also the content of it too. Well worth a look if you haven't seen that. 2-1 over Bristol Rovers. Daryl Clark then, leaving Bristol Rovers by mutual consent. He is without doubt the best manager in the history of Bristol Rovers. He's a likeable chap. You hear from the fans, but just too much.
Yeah, they had to make the change, I think. He tried everything. We discussed it on the show. He tried the arm around the shoulder. He'd done he'd banned days off. Nothing was working. They weren't scoring enough goals. They were too leaky. So now they had to make the change, I guess, reluctantly. And the big question is now, who's next? I know that Michael Flynn is linked with every job, isn't he, at the moment, the Newport gaffer. I mean, he's the standout candidate, I guess. But the one name that cropped up, I noticed, was a guy called Ben Garner, who's only 38. He's been a coach at Palace and West Brom and places like that. He's basically thrown his hat into the ring and he's being taken seriously. So look, they might want to go with a young up-and-coming guy. It could be Ben Garner.
Robbie Fowler also,
yeah,
didn't he? I will neither deny or Joe, any odds?
The odds suggest that they won't go for young, up-and-coming. No. They will go for tried and tested. Michael Flynn, odds on 5-6. He's come in from 3-1 favourite. So he was favourite when the market first opened. He's now odds on. Steve Cotterill, 4-1. Gary Waddock, 6-1. Ian Holloway, 10s. Robbie Fowler, 14-1. And unfortunately, Rovers fans, Owen Coyle's name is in there as well at 20-1.
I like Owen. He brought in Scotland, he brought in the Friday volleys competition because Derek McInnes took it on from him. Loser had to bring in the iron brew and the donuts the following day.
What?
And it was just seven asides galore.
Can I suggest maybe that's why you didn't do so well? The iron brew and the donut.
Me in particular, or the team collectively.
Is that why Wanderers got relegated? Because they're having iron brew and donuts before a match on a Saturday.
Not there's anything wrong with iron brew.
A lot of Scottish clubs do it, and it's synonymous with Owen Coyle from his period at St Johnston. Brought it in.
Really? See, I don't know if this is relevant or not, but I've never had a can of iron brew. There you go.
That's tremendous. Yeah.
Some in the office. Wouldn't know what it tastes like. No.
Between
idea.
Now and the end of the
Sugar.
Show, can we get you trying it?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Look at that devil may care attitude. We shall before now and the end of the show, and I know all of you will want to stay tuned for that. Bradford 4, Walsall 0, Charlton 2, Wimbledon 0. Red cards galore in this one.
Yeah, really surprised at how Wimbledon didn't change once Charlton went down to 10. They just completely allowed Charlton to dominate the ball and just sat in their shape. They showed no ambition at all, which surprised me to a degree. And obviously, once it got levelled up, there was only going to be one winner. Lyle Taylor, I think he passed the fitness test, then had an injection in his toe, and then obviously scored against them as well. What I did notice about Wimbledon on the back of our conversation with Eric Samuelson the other week was he started to inject a lot more young players into that starting lineup. Wally Downs, Tenai Watson, right back, Hartigan in midfield, Nightingale, obviously he's a mainstay in defence, Sibbick off the bench. And my concern with Wimbledon when I saw them a few weeks ago was players that I used to play against, you know, and people well into their 30s, heavy leg, not a lot of pace. So obviously maybe Wally thinks it's a bigger project than maybe this season. Mm. And he's trying to get coaching those younger players and giving them some minutes. So, listen, I think he wouldn't have gone in and taken that job if he didn't have the assurances of potentially having a summer, January summer, working on them till next year. But another great win for Charlton. I'm finding it hard to see a way out for Wimbledon, to be honest.
No, I agree. We almost got a hint of that from Eric Samuelson. He didn't want to say it, but he practically said it's not the end of the world if we do get relegated. So, but the issue is, Wally Downs, he needs to give the fans reason for optimism ahead of a League Two campaign. Can't continue to spiral out of control. Mitchell Pinnock, by the way, getting that second yellow card for diving. That's got to be a fine.
What did you think?
I thought it was 100% dive. Yeah,
I've only seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, it looked a clear dive to me.
But two yellow in what, 13 minutes?
Yeah, I mean that was bad decision. By the way, on the Lyle Taylor, I remember playing with a broken toe for a few weeks. I had to have injections before the game, but they wear off. Mm. They don't last 90 minutes. And maybe they've changed now. They've probably been upgraded.
Is it like when you have your teeth done and
it's yeah? The basically it is, and the anaesthetic used to wear off around about the hour mark, and it was sort of how far could you get through? So well done to him, because when you're inside a football boot and you've got a broken toe, it's not fun.
Wimbledon, bottom of the table, 15 points. Bristol Rovers, 2 points ahead of them. Bradford on 18, Plymouth on 20, Scunthorpe 21, Rochdale 24, and then a whole host on 25. So hasn't all got away, but when you look at Wimbledon 24th, 15, and 10 points between them and 18th, it's going to take a lot to build that back up.
I was just going to say, with Bradford, you think they might kick on now, because they're scoring so many goals. You compare them to Wimbledon, you think, well, there's no way that they're going to be close by the end of the season. You'd imagine Bradford might really improve. It's great to see them scoring goals.
They needed to minus 17.
Yeah, exactly. But they have brought in good players, haven't they? On loan, I know that Jack Payne, who I saw a lot of Southend, doing fantastically well in the number 10 position. I think David Ball is as well in that. The standout guy apparently for Bradford at the moment is Lewis O'Brien. He's on loan from Huddersfield, I believe, midfielder. Name to look out for, 20 years of age. He's been playing superbly in a poor team this year. And now he's shining in a not so poor team, which is getting the plaudits.
Oxford United 2, Blackpool 0. In form, Oxford United. Blackpool with those playoff aspirations, though, they're 4 points off the playoff in eighth now.
Oxford are doing great. 19 points for the last 10 games. That's fantastic, the way they've turned it around. And what I think is the standout is that playing at home was a nightmare for Oxford. They openly admitted, didn't they? Carl Robertson said, "My players hate playing at the Kassam." This was at a fans forum. I don't know if that was a plea to the fans or whatnot to generate an atmosphere. by hook or by crook, whether it's partly that, partly they've just improved, they're suddenly got one of the best home records in the division. So well done to them. And they've got good players as well. James Henry, he's flying at the moment, isn't he? You have to say that their current form is playoff form. I don't think they need to worry about relegation anymore.
Andrew in America, we won't be more specific than that. Andrew in America writes, love the show. Thank you, Andrew. Listen from the USA weekly since it started. I'm making a trip to London in February. I'm hoping to catch at least two matches. He's a West Ham fan, so he's going to go to the London Stadium. But he'd like to aim for a match on the 16th of February. His options seem to be QPR at home to Leeds or Charlton at home to Blackpool. He calls you fine people. Would anyone like to argue against him going to watch Charlton Blackpool?
I can get him some comps at Charlton for sure. Definitely, that's a given.
Are you sure you want to tell me this?
I can text my friend at Charlton. I've been asking quite a lot of my QPR contact this year for tickets, so maybe I have to level things up. Adrian's going to tell you how difficult it is to get tickets that you've got to pay for, because I'm obviously too cheeky to ever go through the turnstile these days.
Well, yeah, I've tried before on the hoof to try to go to Loftus Road. When I was living in London, just want to go and watch a game, take my son. You can't just turn up. You have to be a member. And I even tried the trick of I'll just join, but then you have to have been a member for, I think, for a week. It's so frustrating. Especially when you watch the game, the highlights, and it's not a sellout.
Yeah.
You just think, well, you're losing out on money here. The floating punters like myself and the person that's tweeted in. So no, I'd like to see clubs certainly outside the Premier League changing that.
You get
rule.
The argument if it's rammed, if it's completely rammed, yeah. Then. Hook you in as a member and make sure.
But QPR Leeds is a belter because yeah, we talked about
that will
QPR.
Be busy.
We talked about QPR being really strong at home. Them against Leeds is one of those games of the season, I would imagine, at Loftus Road.
He is also open to an easy travel day to a great stadium outside London or a fun non-league club to check out.
I'm sure Joe will tell you the benefits of Bolton, but I did go to QPR v Leeds when I was a child, and there was a lot of Leeds supporters in the QPR end, and I was petrified, young kid. All of these chaps obviously with deep Yorkshire accents. And at half time, I sidled up to my dad and went, "Dad, what country are they from?" And my dad went, "That's a place called Leeds, son."
Bradford and Plymouth to survive in League One, Joe Crilly.
Bradford and Plymouth to survive. Well, they're both odds on to be relegated. Bradford 2-5 to go down. Plymouth 1-2. Sandwiched in between those, Wimbledon at 4-9. And Bristol Rovers 4-5, so we've got four odds on teams now. So if you are looking at the betting, it looks like those are going to be the bottom four.
Can I get a price on Accrington Stanley to go down? Because there is no team that's dropping quicker than Accrington Stanley. It seems like 5 minutes ago we were all praising them and saying that maybe they can stick around in the playoffs, but they're bottom of the form table, and I would imagine there'll be some astute punters out there that might think they can get a good price on them right now.
14th at the moment. They've just bought the land, haven't they, on the stadium's built on as well. So things, at least off the pitch, looking all right.
That was some great filling there. And they're 14-1 to be relegated. So still a big price. We were saying a couple of weeks ago that the 16-1 for them to go up looked decent.
More great filling on the way as we head into our third course of our Christmas feast of football festivity, which is appropriately called League Two. Sol Campbell then gaining his first win in football management, although the floodlights tried to stop him. The Silkman scoring two against Crawley to pick up much desired points. So did fellow relegation threat Notts County. Neil Ardley two securing a win, with John Stead's late winner over Tranmere. Elsewhere, a Deirdre stopped the action in Newport, so Milton Keynes couldn't play, which meant that Lincoln Dooley took advantage and now see the number one by their name instead. Macclesfield 2, Crawley 0.
I like talking about the quality of the goals once a week, and that was the game for me. Jarrell with a wonderful goal, swirling effort, and Harry Smith, who I watched on loan at Swindon last year from Millwall. Got talent, the boy. He's probably going to go for him or Blissett up front, and Smith scored a really clever near post header, just directed it beautifully into the near post. So
you see more from them?
Of course.
They were already picking up results.
Well,
before.
They look fitter. And they seem to be having more possession in games. And yeah, the stats suggest that since Sol's gone in there, that they seem to be doing that. And I think out of all the fixtures, this one looked like the elements played probably one of the biggest parts, because I think it was all Macclesfield in the first half, and then Crawley really came back into it after the break. So Yeah, and a floodlight failure as well. But, I mean, everything seems to suggest that he's wanting to play football, wanting to play a bit more possession. And let's hope that I am eating massive amounts of humble pie come May.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I really like Sol, but yeah, none of us backed him to do well. He inherited a side that had turned the corner a little bit, have to say that. But no, signs are good. If Macclesfield were hoping that the star quality was going to bring fans through the turnstiles, they might have been disappointed. I know that it was a foul day, but less than 1,500 there. So
Trafford Centre,
yeah. Yeah.
Over Christmas.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For Macclesfield, then, three in their four last four league games that they've won. Notts County 3, Tranmere 2. They got Grimsby next as well, I think. So things could possibly turn.
Yeah, well, I was a bit damning on them last week, but I did speak about the two strikers, and it happened again. John Stead and Hemmings with three between them. And I think Hemmings involved in every goal. So, and they got Dennis as well from Chesterfield, who I really liked last year. So Stead with six now. I think it was a battling display, as you would imagine. A bit of a contentious penalty decision, I think. There wasn't too many appeals from the Tranmere players, but I felt he went down a little bit earlier. And the difference in Neil Ardley from what we were saying a month ago in his penultimate Wimbledon interview,
Yeah. He
was so chipper at full time, which obviously he's got to win. But I mean, this was a guy that I felt was desperate for a month, you know, with the family and a holiday. But he sounded really positive after that one victory. And he highlighted the role of Keston Davis, the defensive midfielder, defender by trade. And I think just to give them a bit more security in midfield, he was pivot when that win.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because we talk about how clubs react after the manager's gone, but very rarely do we see a manager go straight into another job and get that reaction too. And you're right, looks like a completely, talks like a completely.
And his voice, it's incredible.
Yeah, well, it's a great first home match in charge, score three goals. Steadmania going on in Nottingham at the moment, because it was a brilliant performance from him, two goals and an assist. Although Alan Hardy, my friend, I just wish he'd sort of calmed down a little bit. He's come out and said,
he
said that Ardley has re-energised the whole club. Now, he might feel like that, but it's like, probably said the same thing about Harry Kewell straight away.
The chairman's the owners, they're under pressure too, aren't they?
I thought he was going to stop talking and let them get on with it. I still think that Notts County need to sign several defenders and certainly a defensive midfield player in January to really stave off the problems. But if Stead and Hemmings play like that, they'll be fine.
What they have in their favour is Macclesfield bottom on 16 points, Notts County second bottom on 19, then Cambridge on 20, Cheltenham on 21, then Morecambe and Yeovil both on 22, and Grimsby aren't even that far away on 25, and Crewe equally on 25, then 26, 27, 27. 30 is still tight enough to draw everyone back into it. Exeter back to winning ways, that 1-0 win over Crewe.
Yeah, it's been a poor few weeks for Exeter. He's been saying, Lee Martin, that he wanted to play centrally to the manager, and he played just off Stockley, where he played an advanced midfield role. And yeah, brilliant little take, the way he shifted it away from the defender, and a brilliant finish. And I spoke about it last week about the pitch there at Exeter. Doesn't take the water particularly well. So I saw a nice picture of Clive Pring, the groundsman, on his little, whatever it was, his little implement to get rid of the water pre-game. And they just about got it on. And in doing that, save the lads a run round would be common.
Yeah. Can I just, on a different change in tangent completely, just a word of...
really didn't want your anecdote. I'll give you credit for your anecdote.
It was good.
Last week.
It was good, but we've just moved on. Hadn't we? I just wanted to praise, before I forgot his name, referee Darren England. Just want to applaud him for allowing the goal at Boundary Park. Did you see it? The Andy Gray from the 1984 FA Cup final, where basically Chris O'Grady shoulder barged him blatantly, wasn't it? It was the most clear foul you could ever wish to see. Knocked it out of his hands, tapped it in, and he just couldn't believe that it stood, could he? I think he was in a state of shock for at least 30 seconds. So well done, Darren England. A bit of old school reffing.
We should give Frankie Bunn big credit, by the way, because they had those couple of horrible banana skins in the FA Cup. And a friend of mine's the goalkeeping coach there now, and he'd just gone in. And I said, are you sure about taking this job? It was before the Hampton and Richmond game, which they obviously navigated, and then they beat Maidstone, I think. And they're on an unbelievable run now. And big part of that moving forward will be the return of Surridge, the striker, who got all those goals early part of the season. So great that O'Grady's in banging form as well. But Frankie Bunn looked like he was going to be out the door. So he's done a great job.
Oldham 4, Bury 2. two. Any change with Notts County and Macclesfield's odds, Joe? They're up against each other on Boxing Day.
Macclesfield's odds have come in considerably over the last few weeks. I think we spoke at one point, they were about 1-6, 1-7 to go down. They're now just 1-2, so they're still odds on. But that price is getting longer and longer each week. Morecambe are the second favourites at 7-4 to be relegated, with Notts County now 2-1, third favourite. So they've swapped places after the weekend. But as you said, it's incredibly close in the betting matches. That Cheltenham 7-2, Grimsby 11-2, Cambridge Crawley maybe just out of it, 8-1.
Shall we have a look at what's coming up over Christmas then? In the Championship, Blackburn, Norwich, Brentford, Bolton, Derby, Bristol City, Ipswich up against Sheffield United, Rotherham United, West Brom, Wigan, Birmingham. You can all log on and look at the fixtures, but which ones do you want to talk about?
I'd pick out Rotherham, West Brom, actually, as a really interesting game. Obviously, Rotherham are incredibly hard to beat at home, but they always seem to draw, which is just, it's bordering on the ridiculous now. Yeah, can West Brom back up that great win last time out at Bramall Lane with another quality away performance? You know, they're fantastic on the counter-attack, we know that. So yeah, it'd be fascinating to see the clash of styles here. We know Rotherham will bombard the penalty box. I still think there's fragility at the back for the Baggies. But can the Millers hold on and contain that all-star strike force? So that's a really interesting game for me.
Where are you off to, Sam?
At the weekend? I don't know yet. Oh, I don't know.
Where would you like to go?
Where would I like to go? Well, I wouldn't want to go to Nottingham Forest if I was a QPR fan, because I haven't got it in front of me. I think there's a horrible record there. Yeah. I don't know when the last time they won there, but it wasn't recently. I suppose Ipswich, Sheffield United, just to see if it's a flash in the pan and if they can do it against one of the top sides. Sheffield United seem to have a problem, in my opinion, recently, taking points off the teams at the top of the table. Yeah. You'd fancy him to win at Ipswich. They're the type of games that Chris Wilder's team need to win. And he went slightly differently against Reading recently, in that they didn't have as much possession, went a bit longer towards McGoldrick and Washington. So Sharp and Duffy back in the other day, I'm interested to see what the lineup is and if Ipswich have just given all of us a little bit of false hope.
Talking of false hope, Joe, Bolton?
Well, I'm off to Brentford, Bolton Wanderers. Yeah, mum and dad are coming down. They're going to watch Brentford Bolton Wanderers as well. It's my mum's birthday, so hopefully they can pick up.
You need one more, so you can each go to each of the pubs.
He's having a prawn sandwich. Times.
You are not.
I am, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Do they do prawn sandwiches at Brentford?
Joe, can you get your dad to do just record a post-match sort of appraisal?
Yeah, I'll do a video. I'll do a quick 30-second video.
Doesn't really work on a podcast.
the audio will be all right. Well, as long as he's speaking in it.
But Brentford are in terrible form. Bolton are in terrible form. I think if Bolton take anything out of this game, it could be the end for Thomas Frank just before Christmas. And hopefully Bolton can get a point or three to send me into Christmas with at least a hint of a smile on my face.
Villa Leeds, of course. Leeds. Villa. Any of the fixtures from the rest of the leagues you want to have a chat about? Luton, Burton, Albion, Charlton, Gillingham, those in League One, in League Two. We've got a whole host of fixtures that are scrabbling down at the moment.
Well, you missed that Pompey Sunderland. Obviously, that's going to be a belter, isn't it?
Sorry.
So, long, long trip. But I'd imagine plenty of Sunderland fans will make that pilgrimage. Could be a huge crowd. Should be an unbelievable game as well. I also think in that part of London, South East London, Charlton v the Gills is a big one, because the Gills are doing all right, aren't they? They've picked up a little bit. Tom Eaves, the sort of League One Andy Carroll, is continues to run amok. So he will be the talisman at one end. You've got Taylor and Grant at the other. So I think that's worth keeping an eye on.
Swindon, Cheltenham, League Two.
That's got particularly bad memories for me. Not at the county ground, but I got my first ever red card there against a goalkeeper called Steve Book.
What
who
did you do?
It was a wet day. It was very like the Troy Deeney challenge on the goalkeeper, when you go very early and then halfway through my slide, I was thinking, this isn't a good idea. And I just took him out. He played up to it and the crowd were all on my back. And this is a true story. The referee ran in to brandish the red card and slipped in the same fashion that I had and whacked into me. It's unbelievable.
Did you hand him a
red card? I'm just thinking, you can't give me a red card when you've just done exactly the same thing.
And did you say that?
No. Anyway, I
what did you say?
The goalkeeper joined Swindon the following year.
Swerved.
I remember being in the toilet this first day of pre-season, and Steve Book, who got me sent off, was at the urinal next to me. And I was like, oh, and we just had a laugh about it. I was like, you are a disgrace. I can't believe you did that.
You should have said, see how wet this floor is, yeah. Right?
It was unreal.
I'm sure there's something about tackle in there.
No. I did the wet floor. We'll just join the both together.
Swindon will win.
Right. Iron Brew, have we got any? Oh, it's here. Right. Hold on, everyone. Iron Brew is on its way. Whilst Abby and the Iron Brew makes its way into the studio, this is our last episode for 2018. We will be back on Wednesday, the 2nd of January, when everything may have changed by then. Do join us then. In the meantime, here is Adrian Clarke with his first taste of Iron Brew.
Do I have to swirl it around my mouth?
Yep. Yeah. Come on, we want full description. Yeah. No, this is great.
Don't really rate it.
Why?
What fruit is
What's
it?
What's wrong with it?
What fruit is
it's
it?
It's purely natural. What's wrong with it?
I'm not getting any distinct
flavour. Where would you rate
my review of Iron Brew?
Yes, that would be helpful.
The Scots are easily pleased. There you go.
On that note, thank you for your company. And reminder, you can listen to the Totally Football Scottish show whenever you like. No, the Totally Scottish Football show. Help if I get it right. Anytime you like. At the Totally Show. Goodbye.
You've been listening to the Totally Football League Show, a Muddy Knees Media production. For sales and advertising, email sales@muddyneesmedia.com and be sure to check out our other football shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and everywhere else you get your audio on demand. Supporting your team can be a beautiful thing, but then come the injuries, the goal droughts and the downright disastrous defeats. That's a little bit like life, really, and here at the Totally Football Show, we believe we should all support each other the way we support our team, through the good days and the bad. And that's why we're continuing to work with CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably, a charity dedicated to preventing male suicide. On average, 12 men take their own life every day in the UK, so that's your starting 11 and your manager every single day. And part of the problem is that many of us still feel uncomfortable talking about mental health and suicide, and this can often stop men from opening up and getting support when they need it the most. So if you're worried that someone close to you is having a tough time, check in with them and let them know that CALM is there. Every day from 5 p.m. till midnight, CALM provide a free, confidential and anonymous helpline and web chat for any man who needs support. Visit thecalmzone.net to find out more about CALM.